Thank you, thank you, thank you. Father, you're so awesome. You are so awesome. Holy Spirit, thank you for bringing us into the reality of who we are, who Jesus is, who our Father is, and what you've come to do. We bless what's in your heart. We bless what's in your heart. May our eyes be open. Enlighten the eyes of our heart that we might see what we've never seen before. It's been there, but we haven't seen it. But we would see it today. We trust you. I want out of the way. Not interested in people seeing me. I'm interested in them seeing you. So God, I bless what's in your heart to do. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to try to bring you an answer to a question that I had for a long time, and nobody could give me an answer. The Holy Spirit gave me an answer, and I'm going to share that with you. That's just one thing of many, many, many. Maybe if I were to take a poll, how many of you have more than 10 questions? Probably a lot of us, right? But how does this work? You know, a lot of what I, in my early years, early Christian years, the teaching that I was hearing and getting was, it was from the Word, but it was leaving me with, how does this work? How does this actually happen? How does it work out in my life? You know, and I wasn't getting that. No one was explaining. No one was bringing forth how the word is powerful, is it not? It's alive. It's alive. It's able to transform us and change us. Okay, well, how does that actually work? How does the disappointments, the discouragements, the things that hit me, that knock me out for a day, for a week, for hours, sometimes for a long time, how do I release the victory that Jesus paid for me to have? How does that happen? Am I the only one that asks those questions? You know, I've been asking the Holy Spirit for years. Your word is awesome. How does this work for me? How does it work out for me? How does this become real to me? And as a result of my asking those kinds of questions, he's given me answers and set me free from a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. And as I share that with you, then maybe, no maybe about it. Some of you you're going to get release. You're just going to get release. Amen. Amen. I'm gonna kind of start out with where I'm gonna go, and then I'll work my way as to how I got there. How many times have you said, "Where's he going with this? Where's he going with this?" Oh my! You know, most of the time, it's not where I want to go; it's where he wants to go. It's that the Holy Spirit, as we yield to him, we allow him to move through us, speak through us in whatever capacity we're in. He can go any direction he wants as long as we get to the end result, and that's setting people free, showing the real Jesus to people, and proclaiming the word of the Lord with power. I don't care. I don't care how he gets there. Just believe that he wants us to get there. I was, actually, it was Casey and I, one other person. We went to Guyana, South America. We took a trip way out in the bush. And we took this plane, a little plane, and the way that we paid for our ticket was they weighed us. We had to hold our baggage and stand on the scale, and they had a price per pound. And that's how we paid for the ticket. And one of the members that was with us, he said, when he found out what they were doing, he says, "I'll be right back." He ran to the bathroom, and he came back, and he says, "I just saved about 15 bucks. Yeah, he got rid of some pounds. Yeah. And we took off, and we could see we were way overweight. We could see that the pilot was nervous, and he was sweating, and sweat pouring off his face. And we just went all the way to the end of the runway, and just barely made it off. And we're going to this bush village, and where it's a grass strip. In the middle of the country, you know, there was a mining community, and we came down hard and fast. And then he pulled up. And we're like, yeah. And then we got out. This is before we understood that we needed to pack really light. And we needed to have the kind of bags that we could like backpack or take real easy, and we had to go up some hills, down some hills, across some creeks, through rocks, and we're dragging these big bags. It was like, are you kidding? Oh my! So we get there and we're having these meetings, and they said, there's someone we want you to come pray for. And we went, and there was this guy in a hammock between two trees, and he was out cold. And we said, what's going on? They said, he was up in a tree taking out coconuts. He was way up high, and he fell, and he landed on his head, and his brains came out of his head. And they said, we took his brains, and we shoved them back in, and we just sewed it up with some thread. Can you imagine that? Okay, now there's nothing medical, no proper procedure at all. It's just, the guy's bleeding and his brains are hanging out, and they shove it all back in and they sew him up. And they said he's been this way for, I can't remember, it was a long time. Just laying here, totally catatonic. And we said, okay, we're going to pray. And we prayed and we spoke the word of the Lord to him. Zero response. He's just not even moving. We're speaking the truth, and we're commanding that whatever's going on in his body to change. And we didn't see anything happen. We went to the meeting. We went to the meeting that night, and we got in there, and there's all these people. They're all over the outside, and there's no windows, but there's big openings. They're all just like hanging in the openings, trying to hear what's going to go on and be a part of it. And they came up to us and said, did you hear what happened? No, what happened? The guy you prayed for today got up. He got up. He stood up and started walking and talking. Whoa! Okay, so I find myself, that's really cool, huh? That's not what I wanted to talk about, but I just thought you might like to hear that part of it. Before I got up, my throat got really hoarse, and I lost my voice. I couldn't talk. I couldn't talk. And I'm just sitting there thinking, okay, starting to feel sorry for myself now. Okay, God, you take me all this way, you bring me here, and now I'm not going to be able to speak to these people. I don't get it. I don't understand. And the Spirit of God showed me something that changed my life at that moment. And he said to me, get in the Word. So I got in the Word, and I'm just going through the Word. And I'm reading. How many of you know there's times you just read and read and read, and there's nothing jumping off the page? And then there's times that you read, and something jumps off the page. And it's the Spirit. You just had an encounter with the Spirit of the living God, and he just rhema-ized you. He just spoke to you. You just had an audience with him. That's what hearing is biblically. Biblical hearing is having an audience with the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing. That means having an audience with the Holy Spirit. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how it comes. That he releases that rhema word. I'm telling you, when he speaks it, when that rhema word comes forth, it's yours. It's yours. That's it. The rest of your life, that word is yours. So I get to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24 says, he who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Simple verse, right? It was a was the Spirit of God speaking to me and said, who called you? You did. Are we faithful? Yes, you're faithful. Will we do it? Yes, you'll do it. And I knew that moment, I'm going to be able to speak. I'm going to be able to release to these people. I couldn't get a word out of my mouth. It was completely closed up. And I stood up. I think Casey may even remember this. Remember that, Casey? When I had no voice, and I stood up there, and as soon as I started talking, my voice opened up. And all the way through, the whole time that I was teaching, and we were ministering, I could speak. When it was over, it stopped. Until the next day, when I was to speak again, it opened up. Because I had a word from the Spirit of God that He will do it. He is faithful, and He will do it. He is faithful, and He will do it. He called me. He called you. What is it that He called you to do? He is faithful, and He will do it. So what do we do? He gives you the word, and you believe. He gives you the word, and you believe. Wow. Wow. Okay. So there is this. That's the end of where I want to go, but I'm going to add more into that, but I got to show you how I got there. Okay. Sometimes I don't get you, Tony. I don't know. You're just a trip. Okay, Romans. Now you tell me if this has ever gotten you. I love Romans chapter 8, don't you? I love that. I love that. I mean, I could just spend a year doing nothing but that. Just talking about. It's so rich, so deep, so awesome. Yeah, you know, many times we hear. Maybe you've even felt the same thing, that, okay, you come into the kingdom, you heard the word of the Lord, okay? It's Romans 10:23 says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, that means the people of the world, God so loved the people of the world that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever, believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Okay, there's the word. The word comes forth. The word comes forth as a rhema word by the Spirit of God. You heard it and you placed faith in that word and you got born again. Right? And we think, okay, that was really simple. That's how I got in the kingdom. It really was, you know, all about Him, nothing to do with me. It's how you get in the kingdom. Now, I want to get on and I want to learn some stuff. Now, I want to get on and I want to get into the meat. I got some news for you. You started with the greatest meat there is. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of the Father. I get meat. I get fed meat when I do the will of the Father. When I do, I can't. You know, how many of you, it's not a meal without meat? Without some kind of meat. I'm not alone. Yeah. Yeah. So, Romans chapter 8, we're gonna just jump ahead here, okay? And we're gonna go right to verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, or we are obligated to not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You ever struggle with that? How do I put to death the deeds of my body? How do I kill the deeds of my body that aren't godly? How do I do that? Or do you just read that and go on? I mean, am I not, is there anybody else that ever questioned that? How does this happen? How does it happen? How do I kill? You have been given legal permission to kill. not people, as much as sometimes you'd probably like to do that. You have no legal permission to kill people, but you've been given legal permission to kill the works of your flesh. And not only permission, but exhorted to do it, because that's the way to life. And I would say, based upon my experience, I was a lot of years as a Christian, I was clueless about how to do that. Clueless. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Okay, so here's a big question. Here's a big question. Okay, how do I put to death the deeds of my body so that I can live? I'm not obligated to the flesh. Okay, what am I obligated to? I'm obligated to the spirit. You are not obligated to anything that is there to do you harm. You're not obligated to a person whose intention is to do you harm. You're not obligated to them. You're not obligated to anybody who wants to steal from you, take from you, rip you off. You're not obligated to them. You are obligated to the Spirit, who comes to give you life and to give you peace and to give you joy and to give you satisfaction beyond anything you could ever imagine. That's where our obligation is. Our obligation is to trust in Him, believe in Him, believe in His Word, wait on Him, look for that Word. Do you know? Do you know that there is water, there's lakes, there's rivers that are waiting for you to walk on? Do you know that there are physical hurting bodies all over the place that are waiting for your hand to show up? Do you know that there are people who are demonized, who are messed up, they are tormented, they can't even sleep at night and get a good rest, and they're waiting for you to speak? They don't know that it's you, but they're waiting. They're waiting for somebody to come to speak a word that will come with power and set them free. They're waiting. That's your inheritance. That's your inheritance. So we got this thing that can get in a way, and does get in a way, called our flesh. What is your flesh? Huh? Your old self. Okay, well, not really. What happened to your old self? Died. Okay, so if it died, was it buried with Jesus? Is it gone? So what do you got from your old self? You got the memory of the way the old self used to think, right? And so your mind needs to be renewed. Your soul needs to come to get saved, to come to the place where you're now living by the Spirit. He said, we're not obligated to the flesh. You're not. Jesus said, there's nothing good in the flesh. The flesh is all that we are outside of dependence on the Holy Spirit. Anything that we're not depending upon Him to happen and do in our life is the flesh. Anything that our confidence, our trust is not in the Spirit is the flesh. Anything that we think we can do, oh, I can do that. I can handle that. You can't handle nothing. Oh, you can do lots of things, but you can do it in the flesh. Who wants to do it in the flesh? I don't. Have we come to understand what our flesh is like? We all have different flesh. Come to understand it? Some people have a flesh that's easily agitated. Some people have flesh that gets easily offended. Some people have flesh that gets angry all the time. Some people have flesh the list goes on. You can't forgive people that have hurt you. The list goes on and on and on and on. All of us have got a different brand of flesh. All of it's no good. And it's resident in your body as long as you're here on this earth, until you get your new body. Every day you have an enemy. We tend to put so much blame on the devil, on demons, when the biggest culprit, the biggest thing that gets us, is our own flesh. You see, demons watch us, and they can see what our flesh looks like. So they're going to put thoughts in your head to get you to think according to your flesh, to get you to think according to trusting in your own ability, trusting in your own understanding. It's going to be different for all of us, but demons want to promote the flesh. They tag team. Demons and your flesh tag team us. The real you is a spirit person filled with the life of God. filled with power, filled with victory, filled with victory. Okay? And we want to be obligated to the Spirit and the Spirit only. So we want to learn how do I do this? How do I put to death the deeds of my body? How many of you don't have anything, any deed of your body that's not good? Your body just does everything right. Does nobody? Oh, so you all got things that your body does that are not good. They're not godly, right? Okay. So that's the flesh, and we're not going to live by it. And he's saying, okay, you need to kill your members to do that. Now, you know, that the world understands this very well. The world understands it very well. They're going to kill their members. They're going to kill their body. If their body's too fat, well, they're going to kill it by exercising the fat right out of themselves. The world understands how to do this, but the world does not understand what the Word of God says and cannot understand what the Word of God says. He says, "But if by the Spirit you put to death." Not in your own effort, not because you joined a program, you joined a group of people who have this program that now, you know, we're gonna take care of these parts of your body that are not operating properly, that are not doing what you want them to do. No. It's by the Spirit. What does that mean? What does that look like? What does it look like? Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 12, that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Where's the kingdom of heaven? In you. Have you ever felt like the kingdom of heaven was suffering violence? You ever felt like you're just being beat up? Being hammered? But what does he say? Violent. He's giving you legal right to get violent. Not with people. Violent. With your flesh. And with the demons that you can just, demons are peel off real easy, okay? They peel off easy. And you can cast them out just like that. It's real easy to cast off a demon, okay? But you got your flesh. As long as you're in this body, you have flesh every day. It's going to live with you. So we have to learn how to kill it daily. Daily. All right, verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." The Holy Spirit is attempting to help us, to show us, okay, you don't need to be obligated to your flesh. You're a son now. You're a daughter now. You're a daughter of the King. You're a son of the King. You don't need to be obligated to your flesh anymore. You don't need to be obligated to do what your body wants to do, what your unrenewed mind wants. You don't need to be obligated to that anymore. You don't need to. You've been adopted. In first century Rome, a child that was adopted, do you know, it's not like today you think you adopt someone, they're not like a real son or a real daughter. Not biblically. Biblically, someone is adopted to have, because the father wants that son or that daughter to have all the rights and privileges to everything he owns. Everything. And the word is saying, okay, the Holy Spirit, so he's attempting to get us to turn our minds, turn our hearts away from the things of this world, away from the flesh, away from self-centeredness, and onto the things of the Spirit, onto the things of heaven, where there's life, where there's life. Okay, so one reason is the fact that you're now a son. You're a daughter, right? The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you're now his child. You're his son. That's pretty dang awesome. It is. But we look at this verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And we get off into talking about all kinds of other things about how to be led by the Spirit. But do you realize the context is talking about? You can tell if the Spirit of God is leading you if you are led to mortify the deeds of your body. You see that? That's the context here. How many times have you heard somebody talk about that? They talk about being led by the Spirit. It's all kinds of abstract things that they bring in. But the context says, you know that you're being led by the Spirit of God if you're led to mortify the deeds of your flesh, of your body. You're led to kill your flesh. Put it down. If you're being led to do that, no, that's not who I am. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. Those actions that's not who I am. That's coming from a dead man, and I'm not living it. The Holy Spirit, that's the evidence that you're being led by Him. When you begin to move in that direction, you begin to speak to those things and declare those things to your body. You speak to your body. No, you're not going there. No, you're not doing that. No, you're not picking that, because that's not who I am. You know, you're being led by the Spirit of God. Wow. Well, how many of you have heard that before? Mortify. 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 All right, look at Colossians 3. He says, Colossians 3, verse 1 through 5. If then you were raised with Christ, were you raised with Christ? Which you? Your spirit you, the spirit person. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. What happens when we set our mind on things on the earth? We set our mind on carnal, physical things. We set our mind on what we're feeling, what our emotions are saying. What happens when we set our mind on those things? You're going down. You know what the slide's like, right? You know the feeling? Here we go! Oh, I feel so cruddy. Because you just slid yourself down into the mud. Yep. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. He's not telling us that just for the sake of telling us that. He's telling us that because that's how we get life. That's how the Spirit of God releases joy and peace and everything we really want in our life. By setting our mind, setting our heart on things above, on the Word. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You died and your life, your new life, your spirit man is hidden with Christ in God. Wow. If we want to get focused on the flesh, well, we stick our head out of our hiding place in Christ and we can be seen and we get slapped around because we can be seen. I like this. I do this for the pastors and they get it. You know, I say, this is your spirit person. Okay, your spirit person is in Christ. This is Christ. Holy Spirit puts you in Christ. He puts you in Christ. Okay, as long as your focus is on Him, on heavenly things, on the Spirit of God, on who you are in Christ, on what He's done, you're hidden. You're hidden. And the devil's like, where did you go? Where did he go? I can't find him. Okay, but as soon as you get over into the flesh, you start sticking your head out. And you can be seen. You can be seen. As soon as we get into the flesh, we get into doing our own thing, we get into trusting in ourselves, we get into dependence upon ourselves, we get into that place where I'm taking Brioski left and right here. I'm taking Alka-Seltzer left and right because people are aggravating me. But that's not who I am. I'm a spirit man, seated in Jesus Christ, resting in Him, trusting in Him. So, you demons, get off of me. You get it? You get it? He said, Where were we? We were in Romans, right? We just went to heaven. We just took a trip to heaven. You know, we need to do that more often, you know. Okay, Colossians. We were in Colossians. Okay, Colossians. Yeah, right where he was. Yes, where he was. He was in Colossians. Okay. So it says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, knowing that your old man has been crucified with Christ, those old ways, those stinking thinkings, that fleshly stuff's been crucified with Christ, it's still in your members. But that's not who you are anymore. But knowing who you really are, and that's not who you are, and keeping your mind fixed on the truth of who Jesus is living in you, and who you are, keeping your mind fixed on that, rehearse it. It's the truth. Then, says verse 5, therefore put to death, there it is again, put to death your members which are on the earth. Kill them. Kill them. He's not talking about, you know, taking a gun and shooting your leg. He's not talking about that. No. It's our flesh. It's the part of us that is not dependent upon the Spirit of God. The part of us that is not resting in faith that he's got you. He's got your life. He says, therefore, put to death your members which are on earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Are you a son of disobedience? No! He's saying that's what you were. That guy was crucified with Christ. That's not who you are anymore. Why would you participate, be obligated to these things that are good for your flesh for 30 seconds, and then you're going to find yourself in a pit? You know, anything, any temptation that comes to you through the flesh, prompted by demons maybe, they never have good intentions for you. They never tell you the rest of the story. When the demons come and they put stuff on your head, they say, come on, you can do it. You can just have a little bit. It's not going to hurt nothing. They never tell you, oh, by the way, at the third day, you're going to end up in jail. Oh, by the way, the next time this happens, you're going to get into a brawl and somebody's going to kill you. They don't tell you the rest of the story. They just appeal to your flesh. That's not who you are. It's not who you are. And the apostle's trying to get across, put your members to death. Kill them. Kill them. Okay, the question comes, how the heck do I do that? How do I do it? You know, I asked that question for a long time. I don't get it. You know, and what religion does is it tries to get us to do things. It tries to get us to try to clean up our life. Listen, God says, look at your life like firewood. Just bring the firewood to me. I'll burn it. Don't you try to burn it. Don't you try to light yourself up. Don't you try to clean yourself. You just bring your life to me and let me burn the parts out that need to be burned out. Right? Are you with me? Okay. So, the question remains, how does this happen? If we're going to kill something, we need a weapon. Right? You need a weapon. Okay. A really good weapon is a sword. Right? Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6:17 says, talking about the armor that's been made available to us, he's saying you put this armor on. It's good to understand what all the parts are. There's only one offensive weapon. Everything else is defensive. There's only one offensive weapon. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation. Now here's the offensive weapon. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Okay. Now it's starting to begin to click for me. Okay, how am I going to kill the flesh? How am I going to kill those members of my body that are doing things that are not pleasing to God, that are not bringing me life? Okay, I'm going to use the sword of the Spirit. Sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. I'm going to refine that even more. I'm going to make it really practical now because God made it practical for me. I love it. I love it when I get the practical understanding of how this works. I don't know how you are, but I don't like knowing scriptures and not knowing how it practically works in my life. Am I alone? You know, the devil wants to keep us in deception. This world is designed and created to keep us in deception, to keep us in darkness, to keep us from understanding the simplicity of the gospel. So we want to go deeper and get more meat. But it's the same way, this is critical to know, the same way that we come into the kingdom is the same way we walk in it. Did you do something to get saved? Any of you work? Any of you beat yourself up? Anybody slap yourself silly? I'm going to slap the stupidity out of you, Tony. Tony, I'm going to slap the stupidness out of you. Anybody? Did anybody do that? No. Well, how did you get in the kingdom? You heard the truth. You got the word. The Spirit of God was riding on that word. He's riding on, he's bringing his faith, he's bringing the faith of God. Whenever he's bringing the word, he's bringing it wrapped in his faith. And it comes to you, and you took the package. You saw it as truth, and you believed it. And then the Spirit of God released it. Wow. Wow. So this scripture I'm going to go to now is going to really help you, because I know it really helped me. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, I like this, I like Galatians, I like the way he starts chapter 3. Oh, stupid Galatians. he's talking to the believers, he's saying, it's stupid, you stupid people, you stupid believers, oh, you stupid Galatians. He says, who's bewitched you? That you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit, capital S, by the works of the law? That's by something you did, or by the hearing of faith? How did you receive the Spirit? Hearing of faith. Yeah. Yeah. There isn't a one of you here that got into the kingdom by something you did. You heard the word. And you released the faith that he brought with his word, and you entered in. Are you so foolish, he says in verse 3, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Now watch verse 5. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Every one of us, we need a miracle somewhere in our life today. Am I wrong? There's something in your life you need a miraculous move of the Spirit of God. Right? You know it's beyond your ability. You know it's beyond what you can do. You need the miracle-working power of the Spirit of God. Today, there's everyone in this place, there's something you need. A miracle released. Every one of us. Not one of us here that's without that. If you can't think of something, man, I pray before we're done, you have a whole bunch of somethings. Okay, why did he not say, or by faith? How does he do it? By the works of the law or by faith? He didn't say that. This got me. He said, by the hearing of faith. What? That word that I got in 1 Thessalonians when I couldn't talk, when I had laryngitis and I couldn't speak anything, God, that rhema word came to me and I said, that's it, I will speak. When I'm needed to speak, I will speak. That was the hearing of faith. I had an audience with the Spirit of God and he spoke the rhema word to me. What do I do? What do I do when I have a crisis in my life? What do I do when there's something going on? I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I don't know what I'm going to do. I get in the Word, and I start reading until he speaks. I start reading until he speaks. When he speaks, that's the hearing of faith. He comes. He comes with this word that is going to release me and set me free and make me confident now in his provision and no longer what I hear or see in the natural realm. That's the ministry of the Spirit of God. Wow. Wow. And for a long time, I was like, you know, when I started making the shift away from the legalistic bondages that I had been placed under for many years into the gospel of grace, into the gospel of Jesus Christ, where God does everything by grace through faith, I found myself saying, okay, I got this issue in my life. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for taking care of it. And nothing would happen. And I couldn't understand why nothing would happen until he took me here. You know what this book is full of? What's that? Oh, it will happen. Absolutely will happen. It absolutely. Does he want us free? Okay. Now, let me tell you a secret. Okay. A lot of people don't understand this secret, but it whacked me. Changed. Okay. The Holy Spirit does not do miracles, does not. Save me from falling. He does not do miracles. He does not do things just for the sake of doing them. In John chapter 16, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit comes to glorify Jesus. Everything the Spirit of God does is to bring glory to Jesus. Not to bring glory to the Holy Spirit. He's awesome. But his ministry is to do things, to release the miraculous so that Jesus will get the glory. Hence, why we need to have the hearing by faith. Why we need to be in the Word. And the Spirit of God is going to lead us again and again and again to the finished work of Jesus Christ. He's going to lead us again and again and again to what the grace of Jesus and what he has done has bought for us. And then that Word is going to come in such a way that you're going to give glory to Jesus. And then the Spirit of God will release. He comes to glorify Jesus Christ. What are we here for? To bring glory to Jesus Christ. Okay, if we understand that, and we understand that's the goal, the ministry of the Spirit of God, who brings us into the miraculous, who mortifies our flesh, he does it in a way where we get a word that brings glory to Jesus Christ. We believe it, and then he releases it. It's not like we just throw this thing out there, you know, like, well, God, you're a good God, so Holy Spirit, I just give you all these miseries in my life. I give you all these things that are all messed up. I give you all my problems, and I just trust you to work them all out. I want to tell you, you want to see some production in your deliverance? You want to see some manifestations in areas of your life that you never thought you'd ever see and maybe you've even given up on? I want to tell you, you get in this book and you say, I'm in here today, Holy Spirit. I want to hear your voice. I'm after an audience with you. I'm after an encounter with you. I'm after a few moments when you're speaking that word to me and you're right to my heart, and I'm going to grab it and place faith in it, and it's done. That's the way he works. And that word he's going to bring to you is going to be a word that will bring glory to Jesus Christ, because that's his ministry. It's not just he's a, you know, it's a nebulous thing, and we just throw out there, oh, just by faith I believe, by faith I believe. Okay, no. That's not how you got in the kingdom. You heard the word. You heard the word of God. And the Spirit of God delivered that word to you, wrapped in the faith of God himself. He delivered that word to you. You got it. You looked at it. You believed it. You placed faith in it. And you got saved. All glory to Jesus. And the word was had everything to do with what Jesus had done for you. It's not any different. We're not on our way. We're not on our way to, you know, okay, year after year, I'm going to be able to go deeper, deeper, deeper in the word. I'm going to be able to go and really get into the meat and get some really juicy stuff. No. We live our life the same way we came in. Let him speak to you. Matthew 4:4 says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We live by every rhema word that the Spirit of God releases and speaks to us. And how does that happen? It happens as we purpose in our heart, I'm going to hear from you. I've got this issue in my life, and I don't know how to deal with it. I'm going to hear from you. You're going to speak to me, and Jesus is going to get the glory. And he'll do it. He'll do it. And you know what? Here's the neat thing is when he gives you, when there's an issue in your life and he gives you a rhema word for that, that's yours. You find yourself in that situation again, you already got the word. He doesn't need to give you a new one. He can give you a new one. He can give you another. He can add to it if he wants to. But you've already gotten the word. It's branded in you. It's stuck in you. It's the truth, and you know he'll be faithful. How many of you have had, oh, I shouldn't say how many, everybody's had it. You've had financial difficulties. I should say how many of you had financial difficulties more than 10,000 times. You feel like you have. Okay. Oh, man. You know, I remember last year saying, you know, I thought I was growing out of this, where I would actually come to the place where I would have no more crises like that. Do you know what's being tested? Not you. It's the Word. The Word. He will always be faithful to His Word. And I remember our family was in a real crisis. And I did that. I sat down and said, okay, I'm not going nowhere. There's nothing this world can help me with. There's nobody that has enough wisdom to be able to help me out of this. Holy Spirit, I need you to speak to me. I need to hear you clearly, and I need you to speak to me. I've made enough choices where I've gone off in my own understanding, in my own wisdom, and I've gone the wrong way, and I knew there's something wrong with that, but I didn't know what there was wrong with that. I'm not going nowhere until I hear from you. And he took me, one of our financial crises, he took me to this, and you probably all know the scripture, but do you have it highlighted in fluorescent? A lot of times I'll write down in my Bible, I've had a number of Bibles that I wore out, but written in there is the event that was in my life and the word that God gave me, which is still the same word today. And I just keep going back to it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And my God will liberally supply, he will fill to the full your every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. He will fill to the full. Okay, where's the glory going? Philippians 4:19, and my God will liberally supply. What does liberally supply mean? You only need that much, but he's in abundance. He's an abundant God. Liberally supply, fill to the full. You know, a cup is not full unless it's overflowing. Your cup is designed to run over. And my God will liberally supply, fill to the full, your every need. Your every need. According to his riches in glory in Christ. So we're to bring glory to Jesus. You see, Galatians chapter 3, verse 5 now becomes extremely significant in our lives. Extremely significant in our lives. Yeah, the hearing of faith. The hearing of faith. I get to share with a lot of times with Christian subcontractors and the people we work with that are Christians. You know, they do things to us that are like, yeah, this brother wouldn't be doing this. And I get to share with them. I say, you mind if I tell you how we operate? I thought you might be interested. Right, you know, you believe in the salvation of souls? Of course I do. Christian. Do you believe that your actions should always bring glory to Jesus? You believe that? You believe that you are an open book. Do you believe that you are a living epistle? Your life is a living epistle, and people are watching you that don't even know are watching you. Do you believe that? I'll tell them. I'll say, well, yeah. Oh, okay. All right, so what you just did, would that bring glory to Jesus? And they stopped. I said, now let me tell you what's happened with me. I've been blessed to have, Nancy and I have both been blessed to have a number of people over the years steal from us. A lot. And it's amazing. And our response has been, and we came under a lot of criticism people that knew what we were doing a lot of years, like, you are nuts. Why are you doing that? You need to throw them in jail. You need to take them to court. You need to do this. You need to do that. And I say, really? Are you born again? Yeah. Okay. You think that this person is born again? Probably not, right? Probably not. If they're stealing, they're probably not born again. Because they would have some kind of conviction by the Holy Spirit that that's not right. Okay. I want to tell you what's happened. Over the years, there's been many people that have done that, and I never said a word. Just let them do it. Many times, we knew what they did, and we let them go. And then years later, we get a phone call, and they come back, say, I got to talk to you. Yeah. Say, yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah, see, I just want to let you know that I stole from a company, and that, think you knew it. I said, yeah, I know. Why didn't you ever do anything? So why do you think I didn't do anything? And the answer I've gotten again and again is because of the love of Jesus Christ. Because you saw that I needed to see the real Jesus. Because you saw that I had seen a religious Jesus. I had seen Christians get as nasty as people who are not Christians and come after me in ways that the world would come after me, but I've not seen anybody do this. And they receive salvation. So I tell these people, would it be worth it for you to lose for the sake of one life? Would it be worth it for you to take a loss for the sake of one life? Would it? You think about it. When the show's over, when they suck their last breath, And it's because of what they saw in your life. The way I look at it is, I'm not the provider. A lot of people say, the husband and the man of the house is supposed to be the provider. Not if you're Christians. If you're Christians, God's the provider. Our Heavenly Father is the provider. He's our provider. Okay, if He's our provider and you truly believe that, you're camped out on that word. You're camped out on that truth that He's our provider. And no matter what anybody does to you or what they take away from you, are they taking it away from you? You have been bought and paid for by a price. You are no longer your own. You belong to Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Okay, that means He's responsible. He's responsible. Do we believe it or not? If He's responsible and someone steals or takes away from us or does us harm in some way, they are doing it to Him. Bless them. Jesus said, bless your enemies. Those who persecute, those who try to do all manner of evil to you. Bless them. Think of ways to bless them. It makes no sense. That kind of wisdom is God wisdom. It makes zero sense to anybody in the world or a Christian in the flesh. Makes zero sense. Kill that thing. Kill it. He gave me this word, my every need. He will supply. He will supply. He will supply my every need. It's not by my effort. Do I work? Yeah, I work and I work hard, but I'm not the source. He's the source. And He will supply. When you believe that, it's real easy to let somebody do something to you and you bless them. It's real easy. Because you're just going to get your cup filled. You're just going to get your cup filled to overflowing. It's going to be spilling all over. Hallelujah. Like the 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 said, all the promises of God, all the promises of God. Come on, get in the book. Let Him show you His promises. All the promises of God. He says they are yes, and they are amen for you. Every promise you in that book, He says for you, it's yes and amen. You say, but Father, what about this? You see, you're going to cause my crop to multiply. You're going to cause abundance of this, abundance of that. What about for me? He says, for you, it's yes and amen. For you, it's yes and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You get into the book, you let the Spirit of God speak a rhema word of those promises. It doesn't make any difference if it's old covenant or new covenant. Jesus paid the price for every promise in the Word of God to be for you to have it. He said, Dawn Marie, you're my daughter. Every promise in my book is for you. It's all for you. Enjoy. Enjoy. Hallelujah. So He gives it to you and you just believe it, and the Spirit of God releases it. As long as Jesus is going to get the glory. You see, I got issues in my life. I'm after the Word. I've got a lot of words now that He spoke to me, so I don't need to go digging for another one. But if you've never done that, I can. But if you've never done that, you know, and you're questioning everybody, can you help me? Can you give me some wisdom? Can you help me out here? Can you? You want wisdom? Why don't you go right to the top? Go right to the top. Spirit of God, you've got all the wisdom. You've the Father knows everything about everything, and you deliver that to me, and I'm believing as I get in the Word, you're going to speak that word, exact word that I need. You're going to speak it to me. I remember I had I was having a lot of dreams for a long period of time, a lot of dreams. And I had this dream, and I did not understand it. And I'm in the Word, and I'm in the Word, and going, spending so much time in the Word, weeks, looking for, waiting for Him to speak an answer of, you know, what that dream was all about. And I finally came to the place where I got it. And what He was saying was, He loves me with an eternal love. And I thought, I already knew that. I already knew that. Why? Yeah, no, I'm in the Word. I mean, every chance, every second I got, I'm in the Word, waiting for Him to speak to me in answer to what that dream was. And I said, why? Something I already knew. Holy Spirit, I don't get it. He said, you don't get it? How much time have you been with me the last 3 weeks? He said, don't you understand, son? I just want to be with you. I love to be with you. I love to be with you. I love to hear your heart. I love to see you share with me. I love to put my arm around you. I love it when you sit with me. Ooh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One more. I'm going to show you one more. Have you ever struggled with covetousness? You know what that is? It's where, you know, you just want, you want more stuff. You know, you want the newest, latest version of everything. Yeah, anybody ever struggle with that? Anybody ever go through that? I'm not the only one, am I? Okay. All right. Look at this one. I'll show you the scripture set me free from that. Okay. Hebrews. Chapter 13. Harvey, can you... Oh, is that not working? It's not working. Not working. Oh, it died? We speak life and the little light's on. Lights are on, but nobody's home. Okay, Hebrews chapter 13. Look at this. I'm going to read two verses in the Amplified. You've got to read this in the Amplified. Oh, my. Hebrews chapter 13, verse. Years ago, I was looking for just to get free from the desire for things. And I'm in the Word. This is what He showed me. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your character or moral disposition be free from the love of money, including greed, avarice. Avarice is an extreme lust for more things. Lust and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For He, God Himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. God said, I will not in any way, He's talking to you. He's talking to you, Hebrews 13, verse 5. I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. Do you understand what this, when we hear Him speak this to us, what this is going to do to stress? What this is going to do to worry? What this is going to do to anxiety? And then I love this. It's a triple negative. He says, I will not in any degree leave you helpless. I will not, three times, nor let you down. I will not relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. God talking to you. He will not. Three times He said it. I will not. In case you didn't hear me, I will not. In case you didn't catch that, I will not leave you without support. I will not leave you stranded. I will not leave you in a pit. I will not leave you in a negative position. I will not. I will not. I will not. Why is it a triple negative? Because He wants us to understand He's God. And He will not let it hurt you. He will not relax His hold on you. Do you know he's got a hold on you? Verse 6, so we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? If God be for me, who can be against me? Can people be against you? Sure. But if God is for you, who can really be against you? They can try. But God will flip it every single time when you understand he's holding you. He's got you. He's your liberator. He's your provider. He's your everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will not. If he just said it one time, it would be not as powerful. But he said it three times just to make sure we understand. Okay, so I'm looking at everything that I need, I either have or I will have by your hand. And I don't need to stress over nothing. Ever. 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 And you, Father, you, as my trust is in you, the Spirit of God releases peace in my heart. No matter what's going on, no matter what people are doing, no matter what circumstances are saying, that peace that passes all human understanding. There's no way you can ever figure it out with your head. It's just there. It's real. I love it. I love it when bad news comes and I'm not moved. When somebody says something that's really derogatory and I'm not moved because I'm abiding in the peace. Now, I know I've had enough of my life where I was moved and I got agitated. But I don't have to go there. Okay, I'm not obligated to the flesh. You're not obligated to do anything the flesh is telling you. You're not, there's no obligation. You're obligated to rest in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Okay. All right. That's it. Praise God. Yeah.